This week on Pop of Culture, we step into the void.
So doom metal, lots of times will be described as music that's a little slower in pace. If you imagine slowing Black Sabbath down.
We have an extended conversation with the members of the band Void King following the release of their new concept album. And we'll learn about a festival themed on Indiana's state flower. Do you know what our state flower is?
There was just so much love for the flower, and I thought, I can't believe we haven't celebrated this.
That's all coming up.
Support for Pop of Culture comes from the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, and from you. Become a sustaining member of IPR and support local programming today at IndianaPublicRadio.org.
From IPR, this is Pop of Culture. I'm Michelle Kinsey.
And I'm Kara Duquette. Coming up, we'll learn about doom metal from a local band with a new concept album.
But first, something completely different. A festival all about one kind of flower.
We are here with Kelly McVeigh, the co-founder and executive director of the Indiana Peony Festival. Thank you for taking some time to talk with us today, Kelly.
I'm excited to.
Can you tell us about the Peony Festival and how it came about?
Yeah, I grew peonies with my sisters maybe 15 to 20 years ago now and fell in love with the flower. And we sold them at farmers markets, and I saw how many people, and specifically Hoosiers, fell in love with the flower, or not fell in love, but they had so many memories about their, you know, loved ones growing up and their grandma and grandpa and mother. And there was just so much love for the flower. And I thought, I can't believe we haven't celebrated this. I didn't know at the time it was our state flower. So educating people that and letting them know, like, there's thousands of varieties. And I just thought to myself, we really need to celebrate this. And so I put together a presentation and carried it around with me for probably 10 years, gave it to different people and said, hey, what do you think about this? You know, we have the Indy 500 that happens about the same time, and the flowers are blooming. Why don't we really capitalize on this? So we finally, about 5 years ago, got it to happen.
Oh, that's wonderful. I must admit, I'm one of those Hoosiers who really grew up with beautiful peonies in their yard and remember how they smell and seeing the ants crawling all over them. You said there are thousands of varieties. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, people think there's pink, white, and red. And, you know, my goal has been to get people to know, oh, I've got a Coral Charm in my yard, or I've got a Sarah Bernhardt, and they're all so different. So, you know, and this is just kind of a brief overview of how they're different, but you can have these full doubles that look like huge roses. Or you can have these singles that look more like poppies and everything in between. And then you have ones that we call bombs that kind of have petals on the outside, and they have stamens on the inside that kind of poof out. And they also now breed the tree peony with the regular herbaceous peony, and you get what you call an Ito peony. And those are beautiful as well. So, I mean, now they have colors and yellows and corals and pinks and reds and whites, but there are just so many different varieties. And our goal is to have as many varieties in Hamilton County as possible so people can come and see, you know, hopefully hundreds and then thousands of varieties.
Wow. Well, can you go into a little more detail about the herbaceous versus the tree peony?
Yeah. You know, and I will say I'm not a gardening expert, you know, and now I'm becoming a peony expert. But herbaceous, they die back to the ground. So you cut them back to the ground every year, and then they grow from the ground every year. And that's primarily what you see around here, but there are also tree peonies, and they bloom earlier, and they're a slightly bigger shrub that you don't cut back because they don't really last in a vase. They're not like a regular herbaceous peony, but they feel a little bit more oriental, but man, they are stunning, and they're the first ones to bloom. You know, so if you start to see peonies bloom, the very first ones what you'll see are probably the tree peonies.
Wow. Thank you for that. How many varieties do you have in Hamilton County then?
We probably have now, I would say close to 50 to 100 types. I mean, nobody's asked me that, but we try to curate new types every year, but you have to, you have to order them in bulk quantities. So we can't order like 100 of this variety this year or 100 of this variety. But I will say where the festival started is what we call Seminary Park. And there are actually probably 30 different varieties right there in that park. But I would say we probably have over 100 now that I really think about it. So you will see a huge different variety of them at the festival.
Well, besides seeing all these beautiful peonies, which sounds amazing, what else can I do at the Peony Festival?
Oh, gosh. The first thing that you can do is this year we have 20 different floral teams that are going to be decorating Seminary Park and big floral displays. So it's a great place to just go see the different types of peonies and see these beautiful floral displays done by these local floral artists. We also have all different types of vendors. This year we have 150 vendors, some of them being floral, some of them being art, and the amount of peony art that you will see, the amount of peony products from t-shirts to mugs to embroidery, it's all just stunning. So you have this beautiful, display of peony throughout the festival. We have great food. We have this year what we call Hoosier Row. So we're leaning into our Hoosier roots with tenderloins and the sugar cream pie and all that great stuff. But we have a lot of good food. There'll be music. And then as you go into town, it's kind of like it is one big festival, but we have two parts. We have the festival and the festival vendors. And that now we've grown it to over probably 7 blocks of, because we just had to expand every year. It's just, more and more people come. Mm-hmm. But downtown, we have what we call our brunch and blooms, which is a brunch and retail crawl. So all of the businesses, we have 60 businesses downtown that participate, and they all have peony products, from peony painted furniture to their windows are painted in peony. They have, we also have the alleys activated with music and peony inspired decor, and restaurants will be serving brunch and cocktails. And so it is a huge celebration of peony, not only at the festival, but as you walk into downtown Noblesville and they butt up to each other, you will, it's just a great day of everything peony. If you like peonies, you got to come.
Yes, it sounds amazing. Yeah. I like that you were talking about the different scents and all the colors. And when you say you activate the alleys, so can I, and it's 7 blocks of pure festival. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep.
Nice. Well, where would I get tickets to this festival?
Actually, the festival itself is open to the public. So you just need to go to IndianaPeonyFestival.com to learn more. It's from 10 to 4 o'clock. We have shuttles that can shuttle you in from different parking lots surrounding, Noblesville. But there's different parking garages downtown Noblesville, too, you can park in, or side streets. We do have an event the night before, which we call Peonies in the Park, or our VIPP event, which means very important peony people. And it is ticketed, but we have some of the best chefs from all over Indianapolis. We have 8 beautiful chefs that are going to be showcasing different dishes. We're celebrating our 5-year birthday, so we will be doing an awesome little cakewalk, and it's a great way to kind of see the park, see the peonies and the floral displays before Saturday crazy festival hits.
Wow. Now, are the chefs, any of them, going to be using edible peonies?
They all kind of do, not all of them, but many of them have something floral inspired on, you know, in with their dish or on top of their dish. We also have cocktails. We'll have a signature cocktail that's floral inspired.
Well, I need to ask you, what's your favorite part of the festival, or has it changed over time?
You know, this is something I didn't mention earlier, and it's the probably the most simple part of the festival. And it's what I like most is we have a peony stem contest, and people can bring the peonies from their gardens into the festival. You bring one peony stem and we showcase them all day from 10 to 2. And you can, you know, then festival goers can come see, you know, just tons of different varieties because they're seeing them from everybody's gardens and old world types. And then we have judges that vote on the best peony. And I will say that is my very favorite part of the festival.
Wonderful. Well, I must say it has been delightful speaking with you today, and I'm very much looking forward to the festival.
Well, thanks for interviewing us, Kara. We appreciate it.
Kelly McVeigh is the co-founder and executive director of the Indiana Peony Festival, coming up Saturday, May 17th. You're listening to Pop of Culture. I'm Michelle Kinsey.
And I'm Kara Duquette. We take you now to the world of doom metal.
Void King has a new album out, and here to talk all about that and more are two members of the local band, Jason Kindred and Tommy Miller. Thank you so much for being on Pop Up Culture with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Well, I suppose we should start here. Your band has been described as doom metal. There may be one person listening right now who may not know what that is.
Sure.
So yeah. Describe the music that you do.
Sure. So doom metal, lots of times will be described as music that's a little slower in pace. If you imagine slowing Black Sabbath down a little bit and adding either screamy type vocals or they call me a doom crooner. Because I actually sing.
You do.
I used my Southern Baptist Church upbringing in the choir for that.
Yeah.
And so doom metal is a slower, for the most part, heavy music with varied vocals, usually blues-based or metal-based in one way or another.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say super, like to me, it's super emotional.
Indeed, very like, emotional.
You can't listen to it without feeling some things.
We hope.
We hope that's the case, lyrics. Yeah.
That's the plan.
Yeah, we're trying to evoke something for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, talk a little bit about how Void King came to be. Tommy, you want to start?
Sure, yeah. My drummer and I, who is also my best friend, started the band a little while ago after another band we were in kind of dissolved, and it was just going to be the two of us. It was going to be a two-man doom band.
What?
And we did it for a little while, and I said, I can't do vocals and play guitar at the same time. This isn't fun. So we actually recruited Jason from he was in another band at the time.
Yeah.
And we had another bass player who was with us for a couple months, and then I ended up getting my brother to play bass for us. So it literally is me, my best friend, my brother, and Jay, who I've known since high school. So it really is like it's different from any other band I've been in where it's kind of like a collection of musicians you find and jive with and jam with. But these are sincerely my friends and literally my family. So.
Oh, that's very cool. Talk about those first moments together when everybody was together, you're working some stuff out. Describe that feeling when you knew, ooh, we have something.
Yep. It was an immediate click.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to, I won't say force an energy or force chemistry, but with this, there was no forced anything. That there was a pocket that I was able to fall into vocally that allowed me to explore things, because the band before this, I had a guitar in my hand, so mm-hmm. I was playing guitar and singing at the same time.
Yeah.
So with this one, I could just focus on my melody and exploration of my vocals. It gave me a vehicle that I hadn't had before. So as far as like the first time that we got together in a room and it felt good, it literally was the very first time we were all in the room. And I was making up, you know, improvising lyrics over top of their riffs just to get melody started. It was literally perfect from the rip.
Wow. So what is the writing process like for the band?
It really depends on the tune. We do a variety of things. So this last record is a concept record, and it's an idea I came up with in the middle of a night terror. I kind of took it with me. And so I wrote literally a story out, and Jason wrote lyrics to this idea. Then we wrote kind of songs around that. So sometimes we'll just hang out in a room and drink beer and jam things, and we'll come up with songs. Or I will like write a riff, you know, at work. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this idea, and we'll flesh it out later on. Or my brother will write something on the computer, send it to all of us and go, what do you think about this? So it really is just a state of mind thing, like where you're at, like wherever the song hits you.
That's really cool. When you were talking about just kind of being in the room and like working things out, like in the moment, I just watched the documentary Get Back. I don't know if you've seen it, about the Beatles. And I didn't realize that that was a lot of that. The Let It Be album came from a lot of that kind of a general idea, maybe just a line, a small little riff, and then they just went.
Yep.
And I think that is that's kind of a tribute to a group of individuals, a group of musicians that can really vibe and understand each other and what they're doing as a whole, right? Mm-hmm.
Indeed. And I think that's where the magic is.
Yeah.
The fact that we had not been in a room together and we came together in a room and that vibe occurred, that's where that magic is. And if you can capture that in a song, it translates great to an audience. Your audience is going to pick up on little things and vibe with you like that. So. Yep.
Music is sacred for sure. And so we try to like respect that when we're in the room together and writing. Like it's really the, you know, the best form of expression there is if you can do it. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. And if you can do it with a group, it's like just to be able to make eye contact with someone and know where you're going next.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like I have goosebumps talking about it right
Me
now.
Too.
Like I love it.
Me too.
Like music is one of the few sacred things in existence, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like it's one of the real things that like, a song just comes out of nowhere when you think about it. And so being able to do that with three guys, especially three guys I love very much, like it's just, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Getting one song out is amazing. Getting an album out, awesome. Getting a two-part concept situation is another level, guys. So you released the first part of Hidden Hymnal in 2023, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct.
And then the second part, part two, came out just this month, right?
That's
correct. Yeah. So talk a little bit about the concept, if you will, behind Hidden Hymnal.
Okay, so the first part of the record is basically what I would call radio-friendly hits, even though some of them are too long for the radio for the most part. Those are the ones that are, you know, small little concepts in and of themselves. One of the songs is about my high blood pressure. We've got a song about delivering the mail. There's a song about Tommy saving a bird and nursing it back to health and it flying. And those are little encapsulated stories. And then Tommy brought up the idea of a concept record, which I had always wanted to do, and in my musical career I'd never attempted. And we kind of conjoined ideas, and he wrote down a story that just made it very easy for me to run with the ball lyrically. And
the whole idea is like, I don't know if you listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson and the like, but just it's kind of loosely based on string theory.
Yeah.
But in the actually understanding how this is not what I like in the night terror I had was understanding how the universe actually worked and being overcome by that sense of weight. like finally understanding how all of that works. Like, it sounds weird when I say it. You know, there are, you know, that kind of thing is really inspirational to me, like taking those awful moments, which, you know, that, thank God it's a gift, I guess, a little bit, and be able to translate that into art and have help doing so. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, concept album. Yeah. That is not something you hear about very often anymore, right?
No,
people
not.
Are kind of like shoving, you know, singles out
all
there
about singles,
and just,
yeah
right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So talk about the challenge of putting together a cohesive concept.
Yeah,
album.
We even said in our press release, this is to be consumed in one piece. Like, please don't listen to it, like, try to jump in the middle. You totally can. The songs stand on their own, but it doesn't make sense by himself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
After a first listen, you can jump in
totally,
different pieces,
lyrically.
But start to finish.
Yeah, but we asked the reviewers and people, like, checking it out specifically the first time, like, hey, I know it's like 43 minutes of music. It's only 5 songs technically, and it's weighty and it's thick, but, you know, we spent a lot of time putting these together and, like, thinking about the track order and all that stuff. So, yeah. It's an interesting thing because you're not just writing songs. You're thinking about, okay, well, this one needs to flow into that one. Yeah. And lyrically, he's, you know, talking about different things and we're progressing down the storyline. So it's really interesting to think past just writing the tunes.
That was my biggest challenge was lyrically, because usually I can write about whatever I want, you know, flow of consciousness as far as, like, subject matter. But this time it was... I had a focus drive where Tommy wrote chunks of each movement, what he conceptualized them as, and then I had to just basically take that and expand on that verbiage and try to make sure I'm staying cohesive to the thought process to where at the end it still makes sense. And I'd never had that challenge before, and I very much enjoyed that challenge, and I'm very happy with the way it turned out.
For sure.
Nice. Talk about exposing yourself lyrically, to talk about deeply personal things on an album. Is that difficult? Is it kind of freeing in a way?
Yes.
I mean, talk a little bit about that process.
It's very cathartic.
Yeah.
Definitely, it's my type of therapy, you know, to get that out there. You know, all throughout my college career, you have to give speeches and in front of employers and things, you have to give speeches. And, like, I could get up in front of a room full of people that I either know deeply or barely know and sing at the top of my lungs about my most deepest intimate moments. But I can't get up in front of someone and give a speech about something mundane. It's just my flow of things. I have no problem getting that out of my system, because once again, that's what music is for. And it's to exercise those negative thoughts in you that you need to kind of push out. So a lot of people look at our music inspirationally because they do feel as if they too can push out some of those negative moments while they're listening to it. And when I get a response like that from someone, it's always very special that I help that, you know, lyrically, or we as a band help them through something that they were struggling with. It's very cool.
Yeah. Tell me a little more about that. Tell me about instances where, you know, someone has said your music has helped, this story has helped, this, you know, you getting those emotions out has helped me in one way or another.
Yeah, we have a friend, Luke. He's our friend. I mean, I think he's bought everything we've ever put out and whatever, but he actually proposed to his partner one of our shows in Kansas.
Yeah.
And he is connected on the lyrics, the way he takes the lyrics is not how we meant them, but, and he knows it. But he's like, those words mean something to me every time I hear it. Wow. And has gotten me through times where, like, he literally picked up and moved his life from Kansas all the way out to Maine. Didn't know anybody, he's like, honestly, Void King inspired me to do that. I was like, that's the wackiest thing I've ever heard. Like, lived it, like, uprooting his whole life and moving out there. Such a good guy, by the way. He's the best, but
yeah. Well, how does that make you feel to know that your music is having such an impact?
It's humbling.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. To think of it any other way, it's very humbling that people can take words I've written or vibes that we've created musically and let that sink into them. You know, I think that that's a intimate thing. I think it's a really cool thing. So if it's moved someone like Luke or our friend Melissa, we have multiple friends that say, you know, this specific song, when I listen to it, it's either a distraction from the outside world or it helps me get through the pain I'm experiencing. Mm-hmm. And it's always super humbling to hear that. It's a very special thing.
For sure.
This is Pop of Culture. I'm Michelle Kinsey. Album from the band Void King. We're in the middle of my chat with bandmates Tommy Miller and Jason Kindred. We've been talking about the fan reception of the album, and it's not just fans that are praising the music. It's a lot of critics. You've been getting it out to critics, and they are praising the band for its emotional depth. They're saying things that, man, your sound is really leveling up. You're evolving the sound. How does that feel?
That's so the goal with this record was to challenge ourselves to do things we hadn't done before. And so that was the stated goal out loud. Like, okay, cool. If we're going to do a concept record, let's do it, but let's make it count. Like, let's just not slap a bunch of songs together and like figure out how they work. Like, let's write it front to back like a book. Let's challenge ourselves. Like, okay, I'm writing this thing in 4/4 typically. Like, hold on, let's change the time signature. Or like, let's put it in a different key we'd normally play in. Or let's write a solo that took me way too long to write and that I'm not typically a shredding guitar player. Still not that, but to challenge myself to do that, or my drummer like starts two songs and he is, I mean, it's nobody in our genre is doing that kind of stuff. So it's really neat to, we were actually having that conversation on the way here, which is like it or hate it, that's cool. But everyone has acknowledged like your sound is better. Like you're more mature, you're better musicians. Like hearing that is, I wouldn't even say gratifying. I'm just like kind of high-fiving everybody in the band. Like I'm just proud of them for like pushing each other to do that. So it's really cool.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Well, that brings me to the live show. So in the live show, are you doing the album front to back, start to finish? What has the approach been? I know you recently had an album release at the Piano Bar in Muncie that was a huge success. So talk a little bit about, you know, how do you approach a show with a live show with a concept album?
Sure. So we did play both albums front to back at the Piano Bar, which turned out fantastically. Shout out to them. That venue very much takes care of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The sound was amazing. Everyone had a great time. There was a big door count. They've already asked us back. So
nice.
So on that level, it was great. But yeah, we played both albums front to back with the Prairie Creek Sirens performing in between as a beautiful palate cleanser in between there.
Give everybody's ears a break for a minute.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Indeed.
So, harp will do that.
Yeah, so
a little harp, you know, that's a little bit. Cleanse the palate.
Yep. So yeah, moving forward as a unit, I think that the concept record will be performed in its entirety. We will probably have to decide some nights, like, because we only have a certain amount of time when it comes to sets. When you play doom music, doom metal, stoner doom, whatever, your set time is usually an hour or less, between 45 minutes to an hour typically. Okay. So we have to be cognizant of time, but at the same time, that concept record, like Tommy said, it needs to exist in its entirety. And to jump into playing a song from that right in the middle of everything might feel awkward. It's something we haven't approached yet because it is such a new record. So in the future, I'm sure we may do it both ways to see what feels the best. I think performing the entire thing in its entirety makes sense, maybe with a couple of older songs before or song after or something like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that record deserves to live as a piece, you know, a piece of movements.
Absolutely. Well, Jason, you may not be behind a guitar anymore. When you hit the stage, you're kind of behind a pulpit, right?
I am. Yes,
and
I am.
And so, describe what a Void King experience live is like.
Sure. So that pulpit actually came from the church I used to go to when I was a kid.
Yeah.
My daughter was helping my mom clean out the basement, and she said, "Dad, we have Reverend Fraley's old pulpit here. Would you like it?" And I said, "Indeed I do," because I remember watching him get so fervent with messages, he would pound his Bible on there and pages would fly out. It was a very brimstone style of service. So yeah. Moving forward, I've completely integrated that into our live set. We kind of go down that cult leader vibe a little bit. We all wear the same black and white Nikes that the Heaven's Gate folks wore. I try to level it out with a bright white suit, Jim Jones style, a little bit in the pulpit.
Lots of fog.
A lot of fog.
We always say Volume and Fog are our fifth and sixth members.
That's right.
Because they play an integral role in what's happening. But yeah, so live we try to make it this big, almost service. Slip into kind of a Southern Baptist feel where I thought when we were touring in the South, that might get not taken the best, but they loved it. Everyone said how much they connected with it. No one said, "Oh, you're being fake" or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that's what the experience is. We try to think of it like a service. So when we're done playing a set, I want everyone in the crowd to be like, "Whoa," we needed that. We needed to get that out.
Yeah, so. We just experienced something that we haven't seen before, right? Right. So what's next for Void King? What are your plans coming up? Are you hitting the road? What's the deal?
Well, so we have recently signed to Argonauta Records, which is in Italy.
Congrats. You buried the lead. Congratulations.
Totally.
The goal is to go over next year and to have a festival for all the bands that they have on their label and go over there and do Europe again. We got to do Europe in fall of 2017, and it's something we want to do again. It was the three best weeks of our collective lives, and we would really like to go and do that again. We've toured the States several times in the Midwest, but honestly, Europe is just, they still live for rock and roll metal, and so it's a different thing. But short term, I'm about to have a child.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then we're going to try to play, we're playing a big van festival out at the Water Bowl, and so we do a lot of local stuff, but we do a lot of regional things too. We like to do, anything 3 hours from here is pretty great. Like, that's the one great thing about being in Indiana is, we can be in Chicago and Columbus and Louisville and Cincinnati, and all those places have great rock scenes. So shout out to Louisville especially.
Yeah, Louisville's that's, rock and roll.
That's kind of our second
awesome.
Hometown. That place is great. Yeah, it's great.
So if people want to hear Void King, where can they go to listen to your stuff?
Name it.
We've made sure to spread it out.
Yeah. If you check out Bandcamp, if you just Google Void King's Bandcamp, that's where we get the most benefit from you listening. But of course, you can find us on Spotify and YouTube and Apple Music and all of it. We can get you regular old media as well. We have CDs, we'll have vinyl soon, we'll have cassette tapes. I tried to get 8-tracks made, but impossibly expensive to get an 8-track made. Yeah,
man,
so.
I loved my 8-track.
Me too.
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the smell of our cassette tapes. There's something very special about the smell of a cassette tape.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Get those pencils ready.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming into the studio. Really appreciate hearing more about Void King, and congratulations on all the success. And I know that there's more to come. So looking forward to seeing what's next for the band.
Thank you so much
for the opportunity to have us on. Appreciate that very much.
Absolutely. This is not the end. The new album from the band Void King is called The Hidden Hymnal, Chapter 2. While we punch up this week's arts calendar, let's ask another artist, what are you working on?
We are here today with Vernon Badel. He is a mixed media artist and ceramicist. He's a retired public school teacher and active in the Red Tail Conservancy. Thank you for talking with us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Great. As a mixed media artist, can you tell us what that means for you and what sort of media you use?
Yes. I enjoy different mediums and I'm currently working with probably five different mediums and all in progress of some level. And had never done anything with fibers, and there happened to be a fiber show that was advertised at the Anderson Museum of Art. So I thought, well, okay, let me try that. And so I headed off in that direction. So I've enjoyed that quite a bit. And a friend of ours had some paper-making supplies that they weren't going to use anymore, so started doing some paper making. And when the materials present themselves, then there's a, here's a problem or a, something to be solved, and then a direction to move in. So a path to follow, which is kind of how I've viewed my life from a certain point. You know, there's a path we're all going to follow, and where you're going to end up, you don't know. And that's the enjoyment or the pleasure of following a path, is because you don't always know where it's going to end up.
I completely agree with that. And so when you talk about like a problem that's presented, does that come from the material itself or your idea?
Yeah, a little bit of both, I think. Knowing the materials or getting to know the materials is a big part of what limitations there are with the material. And then in your own mind, there has to be what I would call an incubation period for ideas. And those started a long time ago when you were a kid. And you have these ideas that are build upon your experiences as a young child. And I grew up on what I want to call a menagerie farm. It was 4 acres near Greensburg. We had Sand Creek nearby, okay? We had all these different animals on our little farm. So I got to experience how those animals interacted with each other and how they responded to me feeding them, me taking care of them. And I think that all played into me as an artist.
That's really very interesting. And I wonder if, so you said you were working on about 5 different pieces right now.
Mm-hmm.
Could you kind of walk us through maybe one of them kind of visually and also possibly how it's been constructed in your mind throughout your experience?
Okay. So one of the works is simply a pencil drawing. And if you can visualize a tree that's very gnarled, and the base of the tree is very wide, the roots are coming out of the ground, and as the tree goes up, it kind of twists and turns, and then the branches come out like an umbrella. You don't see the foliage at the top. The limbs simply go off the edges of the pages. And then the background is a sequence of values that go from darker to lighter to give a illusion of depth. That's as far as I've gotten with the drawing, and the base around the tree is still undeveloped. So that's one of the works that I have in progress.
Wow.
And
go ahead.
Yeah, you know, and then that's basically where I am at this point. Don't know exactly where it's going to happen next. But I'm still incubating ideas, I think. And there's no time frame on it. You know, I could sit on this for 6 months or a year and come back to it. Because I have old work that I've done 20, 30, 40 years ago that I've pulled out and said, I think I want to rework this drawing or this painting and freshen it up, add something to it, and make it relevant. Because it's been sitting in my closet for 30 years, and now it's gotten new life.
I find that fascinating because some artists create something and then it's done, right? It's the piece. But, you know, you're willing to revisit, renew, reimagine. That's interesting.
That's right. And there's a, I would say, is a small percentage of those works. You work them to a point, and then maybe you're stuck, and there's no motivation to continue. And I don't want to force an idea if it's not something that I really am passionate about. Mm-hmm. So that's when it's time to put that aside and move on to something else. And maybe that's why I have five projects going at once. Mm-hmm. Because, and not all of them am I so passionate about that I see them to the end. But I love the ones that work that way. And I am in a flow. And I'll draw for hours, you know, and I'll lose track of time. And I'll work for hours on something. And, oh, I forgot to eat lunch. You know, and it just keeps going. And it keeps going until... you know, and then the next day, that's what I'm looking forward to is getting up the next day to work on it because I am filled with the idea and I want to see it come to fruition. Sometimes I don't want to take it too fast. I want to relish what I'm doing in the moment, but I still am looking forward to what it's going to become in the end.
And enjoying the process along the way.
And enjoying the process along the way, yes.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us. Is there some place that we can see your art?
Right now, the Arts Place in Portland has some of my work in their Weaver Gallery, which is right in the front of the Arts Place. And... I entered some work at the Pendleton Gallery and also have some work in a gallery in Pendleton, the Fall Creek Gallery, just a couple businesses down from the Gallery 119, Madison County Arts, Pendleton. And then the Muncie Artists Guild has a show coming up, I think it's in July. But those are the current shows and galleries that I'm involved with.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah, it was my pleasure as well.
Good. All right, Michelle, it's our favorite time.
What time would that be, Kara?
It's the arts calendar.
Yes, let's get into it.
All right. The Ansel, Tony, and Friends Memorial Kite Fly is Saturday, May 10th at the Academy of Model Aeronautics in Muncie. Presented by the Hoosier Kite Flyer Society, the event features hundreds of kites of all sizes and shapes. You can even make your own. The fun will begin at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Ah, such a great event. I remember taking Duncan, my son, all the time when he was younger. Fantastic. And the kites are huge. The Garden Fair is Friday and Saturday, May 9th and 10th at Minnetrista Museum and Gardens. Hours are 4 to 8 p.m. Friday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. At Garden Fair, you'll find beautiful plants, landscaping tools, and crafts to inspire your summer gardening projects. There will also be kid-friendly activities, Bob Ross painting demos, food trucks, and live music. Performers from the Maybell Music Festival will perform both days. Minnetrista.net has more info.
Awesome. That sounds like lots of fun. Mm-hmm. And we love the Maybell. The Delaware County Fairgrounds will be the site for the Great Pages Circus through Saturday, May 10th. With aerial acts, clowns, juggling feats, there's something for everyone. even the Globe of Death.
Globe of Death?
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Have you heard about the auditions for this year's Downtown Idol competition? 20 qualifiers will perform during the Brink of Summer Arts Walk on June 5th, and 10 finalists will advance to the finale during Arts Walk on October 2nd. Here's how it works. Record your performance at the Herat or the Common Market, then submit it to downtownmuncie.org. Auditions for all ages are Saturdays from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Common Market. And for those age 21 and older, you can audition at the Herat on Thursday nights from 8 p.m. to midnight.
I bet there's going to be a lot of people auditioning.
Yes, I'm really interested to see who turns out.
This Saturday, May 10th, is the 500 Festival Kids Day in downtown Indy. Kids Day is Indiana's largest outdoor celebration designed exclusively for kids. Check it out from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Monument Circle.
Awesome. The Soup Kitchen of Muncie is having a fundraising concert Friday, May 9th at the Piano Bar in Muncie. Live music from bands like Veridical Muse and The Fierce. The music begins at 7 p.m.
The Muncie Comic-Con is Saturday, May 10th at the Delaware County Fairgrounds. From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., you can meet comic book writers and illustrators, shop dozens of vendors, and more. And yes, there will be a cosplay contest.
Awesome.
MuncieComicCon.com has details.
Very cool. Belgian Horse Winery is kicking off its 2025 concert series with Booze Hounds Bluegrass on Sunday, May 11th. The music will begin at 4 p.m. And this is your reminder that Sunday is Mother's Day. Do something nice for your mama. And mama's listening right now. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. With some booze. No, I don't know.
Yes.
If you have an event Pop of Culture listeners should know about, tell us at indianapublicradio.org/contact. Then click Pop of Culture.
Support for Pop of Culture comes from the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, and from you. Become a sustaining member of IPR and support local programming today at indianapublicradio.org.
And that's our show. Our general manager is Phil Hoffman, and our producer is Luke Jones, who did not move his entire life to Maine as inspired by the band Void King, but who should also not be threatened with a good time. Our show was hosted by me, Kara Duquette.
And me, Michelle Kinsey. Pop of Culture is a production of IPR on the campus of Ball State University.
Okay. Did you get that?
Yep, I did. But I'm going to start a new video now.
Okay. Tracy doesn't want any of the shenanigans. Just the facts.
Well, good luck. Because there's always shenanigans.
Yeah, this room's full of shenanigans.